Our first lesson for this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. In these verses, Paul reminds believers that they will be saved if they remain true to the gospel he preached and they accepted. He reviews the central themes in defense of Christianity. Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved, if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I hand it on to you as of first importance that I in turn received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. From the Gospel of Mark, this is actually the end of the book, the end of Mark's account of Jesus. It goes this way. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Happy April Fool's Day. I think it's quite appropriate that Easter fall on April Fool's Day, for this is God's great prank to humankind. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. It's also another significant day, at least for me. For on April 1st, April Fool's Day, 1990, at the Union Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, I was ordained as a Presbyterian minister of word and sacrament. I'm still waiting for the call that says April Fool's. I suspect it will come. Since Easter falls on April Fool's Day, and I wanted to speak about that, I decided I was curious. What is the origin of April Fool's Day? Where did that come from? And somehow, quite appropriately, no one really knows. There's some theories. One theory is that it started in France in 1582. That's the year they switched over from the Julian calendar, the Roman calendar, to the Gregorian calendar. And in the Julian calendar, New Year's Day was on March 25th. Because that corresponded with Holy Week, they would celebrate New Year's Day on April 1st. The Gregorian calendar moved it to January 1st. Now, in France, those that either didn't get the word or somehow got confused and were celebrating New Year's Day on April 1st, they became the butt of jokes and hoaxes and pranks. So that's one theory. Another one is that in the Roman Empire, they would have these various festivals during the spring. And one of them was the Hilaria. And they would dress up in costumes and masquerades. And kind of sounds like Halloween to me. But they would do this with the coming of spring. Another theory was because of spring coming and Mother Nature's incredibly devious ways of changing the weather suddenly, that was the beginning of April Fool's. One last one I came up with was in the Canterbury Tales. One of the stories in there has takes place on March 32nd. Others believe that was a typographical error. You know, there are only 31 days in the month. But the day somehow became associated with pranks and jokes, and it's all over the world. It's not in any one place. And in Scotland, they have a special day called Taily Day, where people would go around and they would pin tails, like donkey tails, or a kick me sign on the back of folks. And I don't know, choir, but I don't think that's very mature. Some of the other pranks that I came across, and you can come across all kinds of pranks that are done on April Fool's Day, but some that I liked. One was in 1957, the BBC in England broadcast a story of a record spaghetti harvest in Switzerland. And they showed pictures of people harvesting the spaghetti off of trees. And they had numerous people contact the BBC and said, "Where can I get one of those spaghetti trees?" 1996, Taco Bell on April Fool's Day made the announcement that they were buying the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia. And they were going to rename it the Taco Liberty Bell. 2 years later, on April Fool's Day, Burger King said they had created the left-handed Whopper. People went into Burger King and tried to order the left-handed Whopper. When my kids were little, they loved to get into April Fool's Day. And they, one of their pranks was they took rubber bands and in the kitchen sink, you know, the sprayer, they put the rubber bands around the trigger on that thing and had it pointing out. And they were hoping that one of their poor, unsuspecting parents would go in, or maybe both, would go in and cut on the water and be sprayed. Well, it worked, and that's all I'm going to say about that. And I look back there now, and their devilish minds are thinking, how can we top that today? But like I said earlier, I think it's very appropriate that on Easter Sunday, it falls on April Fool's Day, because God has done the biggest prank of all time in raising Jesus up from the dead. And he snookered everybody. We read about the women going to the tomb. They were going to anoint the dead body with spices. And they get there, and the body's not there. There's some young man dressed in white there saying something to the effect, "You've come for the crucified Jesus. Well, he's not here. April Fool. He's risen. Now go tell his disciples that he'll meet them up in Galilee. And we're told that the women left, terrified and amazed. And they did not tell anyone. And this is how Mark ends his gospel. It's kind of almost as if Mark has given us an April Fool's joke, saying, hey, the women know, but they're not telling. And we were left to wonder, well, did they ever tell the disciples? Did they ever meet up in Galilee? How did this really end? Now, we don't know why Mark ended here. It may be that's how he wanted it to end, that there was some mysterious element to it. And those that he was writing to, the ones that he wrote this for, would already know about the resurrection, so they didn't have to hear about it anymore. So maybe that's how he wanted to end it. Another possibility is he just ran out of parchment. He's sitting there writing, and now his letters are getting really small as he's trying to get it all in, and he runs to the end of the page. And he doesn't have any more. It may be that he did write more, and it was lost. What we do know is that some folks tried to add stuff to it later. And usually if you open up your Bible and go to Mark, they'll have kind of, after verse 8, they'll have other places where it's there. That the women did tell the disciples. And Jesus did appear to the disciples. And in fact, we know that from the other Gospels. And we know it from our reading from 1 Corinthians. Paul tells us that Jesus appeared before Peter and the disciples, that he appeared to 500 people at one time. Many of them were still alive, so you could go and check it out at that time. And so there was the April Fools on these folks because they thought Jesus was the dead, and now they're seeing him alive. And then Paul says that the April Fool prank didn't stop there, but it went all the way to him because he had been persecuting the church. He'd been putting Christians in jail. He was responsible for Stephen being stoned to death. And now Jesus appears to him, and he says to Paul, April Fool, I'm alive. And now you're going to become one of my greatest spokesmen. And not only that, it's not to the Jews, you very Pharisaic religious Jew. It's going to be to the Gentiles, folks that you hate. You're going to become the great spokesman to them about Christ and his being alive. The Jewish leaders and Pontius Pilate and the Roman soldiers were also snookered. They thought they had gotten rid of this threat of Jesus and his teachings. Well, April Fool to them because it was just getting started. And it has spread throughout the world now. People today may be snookered too. People who think that life has no meaning or purpose. Well, God's saying, April Fool to you, because Christ came that we might have life and it might be an abundant life, that it might be full of meaning and purpose. If we come to Christ with faith, those who hold on to the things that they've done wrong, and they hold on to the guilt that they feel, God says, April Fool to you. For Christ died that you might be forgiven, that His death offers grace to you and forgiveness, and you don't earn it. It's a free gift. You receive it by faith. To those who look out at the world and say, oh my gosh, there's no hope for us, that everything is going awful, terrible, bad for us, there is hope. God says, April Fool to those who don't have hope. And
says that the world's not going to end in any way except how God has it determined, that Christ is going to return again because he has been risen from the dead. God's big practical joke is that he has turned everything upside down. That it's not power and force that brings about change or transformation, but it's God's surprising ways of doing this through crucifixion and resurrection. The greatest event in all of history is the crucifixion of Jesus, because it was at the cross that the power of sin and death were defeated. And there's the victory. It's even greater than the resurrection, but the resurrection very naturally follows it, because the resurrection is the triumph of the victory. And because of the cross, because of Christ's death, because of the resurrection, Christ being raised back to life, we can have new life. We can have new hope. We can have forgiveness and meaning and purpose. Those who receive it by faith and who determine that they want to follow the teachings of Jesus. So on this April Fool's Day, I say to you, Christ is risen. All right. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
And that, my friends, is no April Fool's joke. Let's pray. Oh God, we thank you for this Easter day, and that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus and the life that he gives and the hope that he brings and the love that he offers. May we experience his love and his grace and the power of the Holy Spirit at work within us, that we might have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the self-control that is offered to us who put our faith in Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.